Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Cincy 360. About Cincinnati from Cincinnati. On ESPN 1530. Here's James Rapine and Mo.
Here we are. I'm James. Well, normally Mo's here. He's not here today, but that's okay. Dave Lapham's going to be here and replace him in 15 minutes, which upgrade. I mean, that's called upgrading at the trade deadline. Dave Lapham going to join us. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so to talk all things Bengals, Vontaze Burfict, the defense, and so much more. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for tuning in today on ESPN 1530. With you for the next 60 minutes, and there's a ton to discuss. A ton I want to talk about, including the Bengals trade deadline and what they should do or what they shouldn't do coming up. The deadline in what, 5 days? 5 days from now, Jimmy, the trade deadline coming up. We will talk about that coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Peter King going to chime in as well. We're loaded this hour. We are loaded today. I want to start here because I think it's interesting what happened yesterday at Paul Brown Stadium. When you're stressed at work, Jimmy, when you have the worst day here, usually, at least me speaking for myself, the last thing I want to do is go home and talk about my day and relive the bad of it. You don't want to go home and be like, yeah, well, this stunk, and then this happened, and then my computer crashed, and then I didn't finish this sale. If work stinks, the last thing you want to do is go home and talk to your wife or your fiance or your friends or whatever about how bad your day was. Instead, you want to get away from it. You want to talk about something else that takes your mind off of it. At least I do. It's the same way in relationships. Like, have you ever been... you're in a relationship that's rocky, that you feel like is about to come to an end, and someone asks you about it, and you're like, oh, yeah, we're fine. You don't go on and on about how awesome movie night was 2 weeks ago or about how great things are going. When things are going well, you can talk about them. Oh, yeah, it's great. This is going on. And, you know, we're going to go and take an out-of-town trip. But when things are bad and one of your coworkers asks, oh, yeah, how's the girlfriend? You say, oh, we're okay. Or we're good. And that's it. Really brief, right? Especially men. They hold in their feelings. They're not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we're awful, and I don't think she loves me. That's not going to happen. Marvin Lewis didn't say much yesterday when I asked him about Vontaze Burfict. Marvin Lewis didn't rant and ramble and go on and on about how number 55 just keeps getting fined and his play's dipped and he's wondering if he's ever going to be an elite linebacker again. But I think him not saying anything, and I'm going to play it for you right now, him not saying anything is very telling. Here's Marvin Lewis, my question with him, and the back and forth we had for about 25 seconds. It's myself, Jeremy Rao, yesterday in the Bengals locker room.
How has Vontaze Burfict played since he's come back from suspension?
He's not played as well as he's played in the past.
What are you seeing with them as far as just technique or anything?
I don't want to talk about Vontaze. It's not relevant.
Do you think his play needs to get better?
You can keep asking the questions, but does someone else have one? Because I'm not going to answer that one.
All right, so that's Marvin Lewis yesterday at Paul Brown Stadium. Not in the locker room, by the way, at the press room. I said locker room. That video, there's video of that on the blog at ESPN1530.com. I've also written about it. And honestly, Jeremy Rao, Fox 19, was the other reporter in there, and he asked the question, and then he posted the video. And Marvin's just getting lit up today. Lit up yesterday, lit up today. People that have seen the video are like, oh, my God, Marvin is just so arrogant. And he's like everybody else. You don't think Marvin Lewis can tell that Vontaze Burfict has been dreadful for three games? You don't think Vontaze Burfict is worried about or you don't think Marvin Lewis is worried about Vontaze Burfict's work ethic or his injury history? Or the fact that the 28-year-old looks like he's 33 right now? You don't think he's concerned that the defense that is 31st in the league in total yards and 31st in the league in points given up, it was supposed to be saved to a certain degree by Vontaze coming back after suspension, and since then he's been just as much of a liability as he has an asset? This is Marvin Lewis, worried about his defense in an offensive-driven league now that needed a guy like Vontaze Burfict to come in and make an impact. And I don't think I think he's very concerned that he might not have an impact anymore, that this could be it. The guy that time and time and time again, as recent as last week, Marvin Lewis and Mike Brown had to do what? Stick up for number 55. They've over and over and over again, if they had to stick up for Vontaze Burfict. And then he's got me in there and Jeremy Rowell in there, and we're all asking, oh, hey, how do you feel about Vontaze Burfict? Knowing, I mean, we know. It doesn't take this very trained football mind or football eye. You don't need experience to watch Vontaze Burfict and be like, man, not playing well. He missed four tackles. Did you see that? Did you see that whiff? Oh, man. He got ran over by Vance McDonald. I mean, it's obvious. And so I get it. Marvin Lewis, it's easy to criticize him. He's low-hanging fruit. I could come on here and be like, I can't believe he did that, blah, blah, blah. I actually don't have an issue with it. You know how many times I don't want to talk about something that's bothering me? Something that's in the back of my mind that I'm really concerned about deep down, but the last thing I want to do is talk about it. And then he's got to talk about it publicly. You know, when we talk about our work there, when we talk about whatever it is, it's just kind of putting it on the table with whoever we trust. Marvin didn't want to put it out there for the world. It's pretty obvious, though. That reaction, he doesn't react that way if he's not concerned. If he thinks it's, oh, he just needs more reps and he's going to get his football legs under him, Burfict's going to be fine, then he probably just says that. I think the concern is real with Vontaze Burfict. I think there is legitimate concern on whether or not, in worry, whether or not he is going to be the guy we saw in 2016. Which, I look back, I've studied the numbers, I look back last week and did this, a deep dive in this. That's the last time Vontaze Burfict was a premier linebacker. Second half of 2016. Looked like he was going to do that last year in the preseason, looked the part. And then that suspension, that three-game suspension, kind of derailed what I thought was going to be a big year in a career or in a contract year for Vontaze Burfict. But yeah, I think Marvin Lewis is worried. So I'm going to defend him here. I don't blame him one bit for saying, I don't want to talk about Vontaze. You can keep asking all you want. I'm not going to talk about him. I asked him about a relationship that could be ending. This could be the final year of Vontaze Burfict in Cincinnati. Would it shock you if they released him at the end of the season? If he keeps playing like this, it's almost a certainty. And I don't know how serious his hip injury is, but I do know you're talking about a 28-year-old who's had knee surgery back in 2014, excuse me. This hip injury, he's dealt with things. He had injuries in college as well. I don't know. Seems like the end could be closer than we realize with number 55, which is crazy because just 4 weeks ago, we're talking about, oh, the Bengals are going to get Vontaze Burfict back, and he can really transform this defense. I'm not sure he's that guy anymore. I'm James Erpine, and this is Cincy 360. More on the blog on that. I wrote about it at ESPN1530.com. The trade deadline is 5 days away. Tuesday, October 30th, 4 p.m., trade deadline. And the Bengals should be buyers. And I can't wait to ask Dave Lapham about this coming up next segment when he joins the show. The Bengals should be buyers at the trade deadline. Yes, I said it. I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. Where are their weaknesses? Well, we just talked about linebacker. There's one. Cornerback, two. Wide receiver, three. Tight end, four, in no particular order. Offensive line, obviously, but I don't think there's going to be any quality offensive linemen available because the NFL, in general, is starving for good quality offensive linemen. I have a question for you. And obviously the Rams 7-0. Who would you rather be like? Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams or the Green Bay Packers? The Rams or the Packers? It's confusing, Jimmy, right? You look puzzled. Well, the Green Bay Packers have the most talented quarterback on the planet. Right? They have the most talented quarterback on the planet. He's great. Aaron Rodgers. He can throw it. He can run it. He can throw off his back foot. He can do everything you could absolutely ever imagine a quarterback doing, and he does it as good as anyone in the NFL. The Los Angeles Rams, what they've done is make multiple trades, think outside the box, They've given up a first-round pick in the past year for Brandon Cooks. They proceeded to pay him or sign him to an $80 million contract. They gave up mid-round picks for Aqib Talib and the Peters kid as well, Marcus Peters. They're not afraid to make moves. The Green Bay Packers, they are. Who has Green Bay went and got for literally the most talented quarterback on the planet? They should go get Khalil Mack. That was talked about. Didn't happen. Oh, they should go get Le'Veon Bell. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. They should go get... The Packers, they aren't making the moves that they should be. They aren't building around a franchise quarterback. They're not taking that risk. Instead, oh, no, we are going to build through the draft. Okay, your quarterback's 30-plus. Build through the draft. He's had multiple injuries. Go for it now. Packers, frightened. Afraid to take a risk. Los Angeles Rams, not. And the most talented quarterback in the league, the most talented quarterback on the planet, literally on earth, is a 9.5-point underdog this Sunday. Who would you rather be? The Rams or the Packers? The Bengals have a division in the AFC North that is wide open. Here's what I know. The Ravens won't hesitate to make a move if they feel like it's going to get them better. They're the ones who traded up to get Lamar Jackson to put pressure on Joe Flacco, who's playing well. They went and signed John Brown and Willie Snead in free agency. Heck, they wanted Dez Bryant once upon a time. The Ravens will make moves if they need to make their team better, and they have, and they're better this season. The Steelers are going to get better in a week or two when Le'Veon Bell returns.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Division is up for grabs, and you know that the favorite in the league, favorite to win the AFC North, is getting arguably the best running back back. Le'Veon Bell's going to return, and he's going to be fresh, and he's not going to be like Vontaze Burfict where he's eight steps slow. He's going to come in and make a damn impact. If you're the Bengals, yes, you're going to get healthy at the bye. You also need someone to make an impact. The division is up for grabs. This organization said they're in win-now mode. The NFL is open to more trades than ever. And I know that some of you are listening to this like, yeah, Mike Brown's not going to make a move. The Bengals don't make trades. Except they do. They do. A year ago, they almost traded A.J. McCarron. And they would have gotten a second and a third round pick for him. To Jimmy Sandy's Browns. Oh, what a wonderful day that would have been. Imagine that. Me, the draft guy, getting two extra day two picks. It would have been so much fun to discuss. Instead, Sashi had to ruin it. Sashi up there in Cleveland ruining a good, what would have been a great day for the Bengals. Fine. But what else did the Bengals do? Well, they traded back. Remember when they traded back before the draft from pick 12 to pick 21 and they got a left tackle? And it made sense, right? They needed a left tackle. They felt like they were in win-now mode. They have Dalton in his prime and A.J. Green in his prime and Carlos Dunlap in his prime and Geno Atkins in his prime and William Jackson's emerging into a star. Like, all of these weapons. Vontaze Burfict at the time, it felt like he was in his prime still, which, I don't think is true. It felt like they could open up that window that shut after the 2015 season. And so they traded back. They took a risk. And Cordy Glenn hasn't played great. I don't even think Cordy Glenn's played well. He's been okay. It's been an upgrade, but he's been okay. Anyone looking back and questioning that move? Anyone saying, oh, the Bengals shouldn't have made that trade? Okay, that's fair because I agree with it. They should have made that trade. But it cost them Leighton Van Der Esch, who's a premier linebacker right now for the Dallas Cowboys as a rookie. It cost them a chance at Tremaine Edmonds, who's a athletic freak who's only 20 years old for the Buffalo Bills and could certainly help at the linebacker spot right now. It cost them a shot at Derwin James, who's been great for the Los Angeles Chargers, who is a safety, and I get it. They ended up getting Jesse Bates, which is worked out fine. The point is, though, that when you take a risk – when you show fans that you're willing to go for it a bit, when you're willing to roll the dice and you're trying to win, even if it doesn't work out exactly like you hoped, think about it. They traded for Gordy Glenn. He's been okay, not great. Billy Price has been out. So far, it's been, but no one's mentioning that. No one's saying, oh, well, they shouldn't have made that move, because when you make a move, you don't know exactly how it's going to work out. But no one's going to be critical of you for trying. So if the Bengals trade for whoever you want to say, and there's so many names out there, Jared Cook at tight end for the Raiders, let's say he gets injured game two with the Bengals, no one's going to rip them for that. If they go out and get Demaryius Thomas, or they go out and get Chris Harris Jr. from the Broncos, who I would really like, the nickel corner from the Broncos, if it doesn't work, anybody going to be critical of it, or are they going to say, yeah, at least the Bengals went out and they made a move and they tried to get a guy that could help them now? I think it would be the latter. So if I'm the Bengals, and there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to make a move, it takes two to tango, as they say, I would be ultra aggressive at the trade deadline. I would try to upgrade this roster because I think it's a wide open division. And I would much rather be the Los Angeles Rams, who take risks and take chances and have a fresh, unique feel that has led to their 7-0 start, than the Green Bay Packers, who are still stuck in the 90s, afraid to build around the best, or I'll say most talented, quarterback on the planet in Aaron Rodgers. I'm James Rapine, and this is Cincy 360. The calling numbers are 513-749-1530 and 866-702-3776. You can also tweet me at James Rapine. Up next, we're going to get the latest on the trade deadline stuff. Could the Bengals make a move? Plus, Vontaze Burfict, how has he played? I'm going to go to Mr. Bengal. Dave Lapham will join us next on Cincy 360.
Now Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. You can listen to ESPN 1530 everywhere you go with the iHeartRadio app. A quick reminder, there's a ton on the blog at ESPN1530.com, including thoughts on Marvin Lewis and his comments about Vontaze Burfict, plus Chad Johnson, Terrell Owens in a great video. Check it out right now at ESPN1530.com. They just recorded that, by the way. This is new. This isn't something you would have seen 2 or 3 or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or anything like that. Anyways, let's welcome him in. He's Dave Lapham. And Dave, I got to be honest, I was listening to what I consider, and this is someone who hosts a daily Bengals podcast, the best Bengals podcast out there. It's the Bengals Booth Podcast with Dan Hoard, Dave Lapham, and it's really awesome stuff, so you guys should check that out. Listen to that this morning, and I wanted to have you on, and I want to talk to you about so many things, the trade deadline, Bill Lazor, etc. But let's start with Vontaze Burfict. Marvin Lewis said that, Burfict's played better. He's not playing as well as he has in the past. What are your thoughts on the way number 55 has played in the three games he's played and been out there since returning from suspension?
Yeah, well, I agree with Marvin's assessment. He's certainly not playing as well as he's played in the past. And I think part of it is he just hasn't played that much football. I don't think he's in good football shape right now. Then you're playing against an offense that is executing at warp speed. And you're not there. You know, you're not where you could be and shown that you could be. So I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is he's in his own mind with respect to the league. I think he's so distracted by what, you know, the league. He feels like he is a guy that is being targeted by the National Football League and him alone. And he feels that anything he does out there, the league is watching. And, you know, and it's self-inflicted. I mean, he's created his own problem here. But I think it's starting to really, you know, creep into his mindset. And when that happens, you know, when you're distracted like that by those kind of things, it's going to affect your overall play. I really believe that's the case with him. You know, he's gotten a lot of notoriety, obviously, as a result of the fines and over $3 million in fines, $112,000 in the last go-around with two infractions. And now he's, you know, anytime anybody touches him, I thought I'd never see Vontaze Burfict flop on national television. That's exactly what he did. He's trying now to say to the officials, hey, you guys aren't you know, you're only looking at me delivering. What about when people are cheap-shotting me, in his mind? In his mind, Kansas City was cheap-shotting him. Into it with Kelce, into it with linemen. You know, instead of worrying about the game and playing defense, he's got his own personal war with the league. And he's trying to make, you know, trying to show that, look, it's one-sided. You're not protecting me at all. All you're doing is fining me. And I think that that is a big, big distraction to his overall game. I really believe that.
Dave Lapham is with us. And Dave, obviously, the way the NFL has gone and the way the Bengals defense, the start they got off to through the first 4 weeks of the season, it was like, okay, well, they're going to get Vontaze Burfict back, and he's going to help change things and help get them back to where I think everyone really expected them to be, which is a top-tier defense, at least above-average defense this season. That hasn't been the case. They're 31st in total points given up. They're 31st in yards allowed, on pace to set a franchise record for yards allowed through 7 weeks. How can they fix it? Because clearly it wasn't as simple as Vontaze Burfict returning to the field. Can it be fixed? And if so, how?
I think they need to follow the posture that Paul Brown said so many years ago that stuck in my mind and has stuck in my mind forever. After we had a bad performance one game offensively, he stood up in front of our offensive meeting room as the head coach and said, obviously, you guys are not capable of handling what we've installed. You know, your football acumen is not there, men. It's not happening. So we're going to simplify. We're only going to run 6 runs and 7 passes in this football game. And that's all we're going to do. And we're going to do them over and over and over again against every possible look known to man until you guys feel confident that we can execute these plays. And when you can execute these plays, we'll start building our arsenal back up. But until so, these are the plays that we're going to use. We went out and kicked butt the next week because, you know, first of all, he got under our skin. And secondly, the attention to detail, the focus on those plays, the execution of those plays, that next week was unbelievable. I think so many coordinators, both offensive and defensive coordinators in this era, have so many assistants and so many people, you know, offensive and defensive special assistants and, as well as coaches, doing all these sub-packages and how to attack these sub-packages. And I mean, they are splitting the atom. You know, they're going advanced calculus when algebra will do. And they put so much time and energy into these game plans, come hell or high water, they're going to use it all. And it does. They're not interested in the flow of the game. If you have a run play that just gashed them for 13 yards, in the old days, it'd be like, run it again until they stop it. These days, it's like, okay, well, that worked. Let me see if the next thing I created works. And they move on to something else and move on to something else. Next thing you know, they're all over the board. It's all piecemeal. It's like there's no connection between the run game and the pass game. There's no, you know, it's like play action passing is supposed to be a connection to a run play. And sometimes in this league, it's not, with the RPOs and the different things they're doing. So to me, the league has evolved to a place where, in the good old days of run a few plays well and make defenses stop things, football shouldn't be hard. You crease them. And when they react to stop that, then you run up to something that is related to it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I actually pass off of it or whatever. It doesn't take Einstein to put together game plans. And I think offensive and defensive coordinators forget about the fact that if your team's struggling, they may be overwhelmed mentally and melt it down, dumb it down, make it simpler. That's exactly what Mark Duffner did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. They're running all these exotic blitzes and we're getting their butts kicked. I mean, they're the worst pass defense in the NFL. 18 touchdown passes allowed, most in the league, only one interception, but no return yards. Now, you know, worst in the league. That minus 17 ratio, touchdown pass allowed to interception generated, worst in the league. Quarterback rating against them of 125 plus. They fire Mike Smith, who was doing it. Duffner comes in, he's rushing 3, dropping 8, rushing 4, dropping 7, playing coverage. Let's settle this down. Let's calm it down. Dumb it down when you're struggling. That's exactly the remedy. And Paul Brown introduced it to me in 1974.
Dave Lapham is with us. Lap, one thing that defensive coordinator Terrell Austin did a little bit when he was with Detroit, and I'm wondering maybe if he would do it this weekend against Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, two dynamic weapons on the outside for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you think there's the potential that William Jackson and Dre Kirkpatrick could go man-to-man on those two guys and just travel with them throughout the game?
They could. They could do something different in that regard. They could stay to what they've done. But the thing that they have to do, James, they have to play harder than they played in Kansas City. In Kansas City, for the first time, I saw the defense playing with not enough effort. You know, they faced adversity. The offense goes 1-2-3 and out. Kansas City scores. Kansas City takes an early command of the football game, and instead of fighting through the entire game like the football team has done, they didn't. They didn't react to adversity. They collapsed. So many plays while I was watching the game and evaluating it as I would if I were grading players, too many loaf plays. Defensive guys letting their teammate one-on-one against Hill, one-on-one against Hunt, and watching, like spectating, like fans, like people watching the nationally televised game. Hell, it's not a right to play in the National Football League. It's a privilege. You got to go play. Run to the football. And the defense has been doing that. Guys weren't running the football, standing around watching. Montez Burfict included, all of them, a lot of guys. And it's like, man, what happened to that hustling defense? You know, if you play like that, it doesn't matter what the coach calls. If you're going to stand around and let your teammate try to handle these unbelievably athletic players one-on-one in space, they're cruising for a bruising, and they got one. And if they do that against this Tampa Bay team, players like Evans and Jackson and the tight ends, O.J. Howard and Brate, they got trouble in River City, man. No matter what play is called, what they try to do to scheme up, you got to hustle. I mean, it doesn't take a great athlete to hustle. You're getting paid plenty of money. One thing you do is run to the football, and I hope they're getting crucified by the coaching staff, and I hope whenever Tampa Bay catches a ball, there's four or five orange helmets running to the ball to pepper them, because that wasn't the case in Kansas City.
Dave Lapham is with us, and Dave, especially after Sunday night, I was critical of offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. It just seemed like, honestly, the offense looked a lot like it did in 2017 and 2016, and I know they've had injuries. Obviously, Tyler Eifert is a huge loss. Giovanni Bernard, I think, hurts them a lot, because when Joe Mixon checks himself out, you got a rookie in there who's still getting a feel for the NFL and Mark Walton. At the same time, I wonder, and I've said it this week, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. I'm not sure if Joe Mixon's being put in the best position to succeed. I know John Ross has had injuries, but it doesn't seem like he was even part of the game plan. Tyler Boyd hasn't gotten many manufactured design plays for him either. In a game like that against Kansas City, when they knew, and even going into this weekend against Tampa Bay, they're going to have to probably score 30 points or so to win the game. Do you expect a change from Bill Lazor? Because it was a complete 180 from where we were a couple of weeks ago when I was just praising everything he was doing. It's changed a lot, it seems.
Yeah, and as you said, his personnel has changed a lot, James. I mean, his tight end package has evaporated due to injury. Like Carl Austin said, somebody set off a grenade in the tight end room. I mean, it's crazy what's happened there. John Ross has been unavailable as much as he's been available, or even more. So Kansas City had two fast receivers that could really challenge you vertically, Watson and Hill. And Watkins, I should say, and Hill. And then they had Kelsey in the middle. Well, that was the Bengals' process, you know, with John Ross, A.J. Green, Eifert in the middle, Geo in the middle. You know, I mean, they've got plenty of, just like Kansas City uses Hunt in the middle in their backs. It was the same type of thing. Well, the Bengals are crippled with respect to the personnel they're putting out there. Now what's happening is defenses have adjusted to what Bill Lazor and the Bengals' offense is doing. Think back to the beginning of the season. Baltimore Ravens came with heavy, heavy, heavy blitz. The Bengals played them out of it. I mean, you know, you had their defensive coordinator, Blank Martindale, he was flinching. I mean, he didn't stay with the blitz. They were crushing them. Atlanta was blitzing. In 24 plays, they put up 28 points. They stopped blitzing. So now, with fewer weapons offensively, defensive coordinators are saying, we have fewer guys to worry about. Let's just play coverage. Let's rush three and drop eight. Let's rush four and drop seven. Double AJ. Maybe we can even double Boyd. while we're doubling AJ with all these guys in back end, and who's going to beat us one-on-one? Who's left to win one-on-ones? And that's what they're doing. Now, instead of Andy Dalton against the blitz, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Against coverage, 10 touchdowns, all 8 of his interceptions. So they're saying, we're going to cover, make Andy hold the ball. His offensive line isn't great. Eventually, our rush will get there. He might not get through all his progressions. That's the secret sauce. Defenses have changed, altered the way they're playing the Bengals defensively. Kansas City, Bob Sutton had a pretty significant blitz pattern. Against the Bengals, I didn't remember him blitzing. When I looked at it again, I saw maybe 1 or 2 max times that he blitzed. He played coverage and shut him down, 239 yards. Mark Duffner, the thing he did differently when he took over in Tampa Bay, instead of that heavy blitz deal that they're getting crushed on, he went and played coverage. He's playing shell coverage, 2 safeties deep. You know, cover 2, where you can double people. That's what is going to happen. That's what he's going to do this week. Tampa Bay, Mark Duffner's going to do the same thing that Bob Sutton did, that other teams are doing. Nobody's going to blitz him anymore. Nobody's going to do what Baltimore and Atlanta did, because Andy destroyed it. But now he's got fewer weapons, and his offensive line, you know, is not, you know, top 10 in the league. So they're saying, let's see if our rush can get there with 3 or 4 guys, play good coverage, and see if we can slow that offense down. And that's exactly what's happened. And I think it's just a much different dynamic for Bill Lazor to game plan with, for the Bengals to execute against. And they're just going to have to start winning some of those one-on-one scenarios when people are playing coverage, and the offensive line is going to have to give Andy a little more time to get through all his progressions, because Andy's a master at reading, okay, here's the blitz. I know where I'm going with the football. Ball's out. Boom. I mean, easy read. They're not making it that easy anymore for him.
Dave Lapham is with us here on ESPN 1530. A few more questions for Lap. You mentioned, obviously, the injuries at tight end. I think now it's safe to say they lack an outside threat at wide receiver opposite A.J. Green with Tyler Boyd in the slot. Then you flip it, and they've had some injuries at corner. The depth there has certainly taken a hit. Ryan Glasgow, I think, has been an underrated loss for this Bengals defensive line. I look at all the injuries the Bengals have suffered, and then I also see that the trade deadline is this Tuesday, and it seems like the NFL more than ever is looking, and teams are willing to give up draft picks for players who can help now. The Bengals made a couple trades. They've made trades over the past year or so. They made the Cordy Glenn trade, et cetera. Do you think that they could potentially make a deal between now and Tuesday's deadline?
I'm sure it's being explored. I'd be shocked if it's not, but it takes 2 to 10, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't think the Oakland Raiders ever thought that anybody would give a first-round pick for a receiver, and they did. So they made the trade. There's not to guarantee that they're going to get with that first-round pick that they gave up. Pretty darn good receiver. You know, they gave up maybe the best defensive player, you know, in the league. Oakland did, you know, for draft picks. And that guy panned out better. Mac panned out better than any first-round pick probably would ever pan out for him. So, yeah, I mean, it's deals are made. Are they good deals? Are they sound deals? Everybody's opinion of a good deal is different. That's why it takes 2 to make a deal, and those deals are hard to make sometimes. It wouldn't shock me if they're trying, though. I just think the Bengals were hit in 2 areas, James, injury-wise, that you don't want to be hit in this National Football League: tight end and linebacker, because linebackers that can run and cover tight ends, like Nick Vigil, and losing him, he's their best linebacker right now.
Yeah,
and they've lost him. They've lost him for an extended time frame. Going to be until after the bye. I don't know how long after the bye, but you know, when you have a match, that's a matchup that's huge in this league. Tight ends on linebackers. Okay, in this football game, you got Tampa Bay's linebackers are crippled with injury. Bengals linebackers crippled with injury. Bengals tight ends crippled with injury. Tampa Bay's tight ends are a plus. That's a big matchup in their favor. In the other instances, you know, the Bengals are in trouble because they don't have tight ends. They don't have linebackers that can handle tight ends. Now, on the other side of it, you know, Tampa Bay doesn't have, you know, linebackers necessarily that can work against tight ends, but the Bengals don't have a whole lot of them. So, I mean, that obviously favors the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that little exchange there. But it's going to be interesting to see if they can, you know, pick up a tight end, pick up other places. I mean, they are basically a mash unit.
Yeah.
They had 10 guys that didn't even practice, and then 2 guys that went limited. You only deactivate 6, or seven, I should say. You deactivate seven. You get more. You can have guys in the 46-man roster on game day against Tampa that aren't physically able to roll. I mean, that's a tough place to be. Yet they still have enough core players to beat the Buccaneers, James. There's no doubt in my mind they have enough core players to beat the Buccaneers. They got to do it and limp and crawl to the bye week and try to get some bodies back.
Yeah, and I think that, one, if they can beat the Buccaneers, you set up, and even with the past couple of weeks, you're 5-3 at the bye. You have plenty of time to get healthy. So I think that that's a really good spot to be in right halfway through the year. And let's say they did make a deal, say, for a tight end who isn't familiar with the system, or maybe a cornerback or linebacker, they have the bye week. I mean, that kind of is a secondary blessing if they do end up adding, whether it's a free agent or any kind of player via trade. They'll have a little bit of time, albeit during a bye, to get ready for week nine.
Yeah, I think the Jordan Franks deal, bringing him up off the practice squad, made total sense. He's been there from Jump Street. He knows the offense cold. And watching him work out on before the games on Sunday, when the deactivated players work out, and practice squad players, he's impressive, man. He works hard. And the dude can get in and out of cuts, runs routes. He's a great, very, very talented receiver. But Andy Dalton hasn't been thrown to him. You know, how quickly can they get in a rhythm? And there's a lot to be said for that. Just reading body language is, you know, when you have to throw the ball with so much anticipation, you pick up traits of a guy. A tip when he's going to get in and out of his cut with his body. You know, he might do something with his shoulder, his hip, or whatever it might be. So, I mean, little things like that over time you pick up. But I think that made the most sense. But like you said, after that game, when you basically have 2 weeks with the bye week before you play, you know, that's a guy that's been around the league. Even if he hasn't been exposed to your offense, there's only so many things you can do in football. It's just learning the language. It's unlearning and relearning. And some guys do it, you know, assimilated faster than others. But getting that two-week opportunity to do it would indoctrinate somebody a lot more rapidly, and the bye week would be a work week for that position coach and that player. I mean, they'd be living together. They wouldn't be with their families. They'd be just spending every minute of every day during that bye week because there's no other distraction, no other, you know, meetings, no other. It's just boom, here you go. And we're with each other 6 or 7 hours working on this stuff, and just gonna kind of boil it in and then pour it all in. And so, if you can make a trade, you do have that opportunity to do that time frame. That's an unusual period of time when you can pay a lot of attention to one guy and really get a guy up to speed.
Last question for you, Dave, and you've been great with your time, as always. As far as offensive line is concerned, Billy Price, he returns to practice yesterday. I still feel like he's probably a week away. Why not just hold him out till after the bye and get him fully healthy 100%? But I've gotten this question asked a lot of me, and I want to get your thoughts on it. What is the possibility that Billy Price slides back into the starting lineup, whether it's center or right guard, and Trey Hopkins plays the other position following the bye, assuming that Billy Price returns then?
Yeah, Billy's not playing this weekend. That's not happening. He's not in any kind of a position to be able to pull that off this weekend for sure. So, he hasn't played any football. I mean, look at how long it's been before he's played. He went limited at practice yesterday. That's his first practice and was limited physically. So they are not going to throw him out there and play this weekend. And they don't have to. The emergency alarms aren't going off because center's being handled pretty well by Trey. Trey's doing a hell of a job. So, and I think that, unfortunately for Trey, center's his best position. And it's Billy Price's best position. You know, even though Billy played 3 years of guard at Ohio State, I think he proved that he was a pretty top-notch center. He was drafted to play center. I think he's going to be the center. And Trey at that point, then they have to make the call, like you said. Okay, well, Redmond. In my mind, Redmond's playing with an injury. I see him kind of protecting an injury. I see him twisting and turning, trying to protect an injury. And if that's the case, do they think Trey is a better option there, or do they still like what Redmond's doing enough? They're gonna have to make some decisions there. The bye week might solve a lot of that issue with Redmond if he is playing hurt. Other guys, you know, might solve some of their issues in the offensive line that are playing dinged up. But, you know, that's a call the coaches are gonna have to make. And, you know, you're gonna put your best five out there no matter what the situation is. Nobody's worried about hurting anybody else's feelings, that's for sure. Just trying to win football games. And honestly, James, I look at what Frank Pollock's doing, and I think he's doing a lot of it with smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's a solid offensive line, but it's not, you know, super uber talented. And when we talked before, I remember we talked about the fact that if they could just be middle of the pack offensive line, that would be, you know, a big, big step forward. And I think they could win 10 games if they played middle of the pack offensive line. And Frank's got them playing at that type of level, you know, and hopefully it'll improve as they play more together and they grow together and avoid injury. That's the big thing. Knock on wood, man. If they get blown up at that position group, James, Lord have mercy.
Yeah. There is no depth anywhere in the league, I feel like, at the offensive line.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, it's amazing. The offensive line, they've only dressed seven linemen every single game this week, this season. Just seven. So, I mean, you're saying, you know, we're hopefully getting through this game without getting banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't take much to deplete when you have to have five in the field. You're only shooting out seven. It's easy math to do, that's for sure.
He's Dave Lapham. Lap, I appreciate the time as always. I will see you Sunday when hopefully the Bengals can get to 5-3.
I hear you, James. This is a very, very important football game. And Coach Austin addressed his defensive players. 5-3, the numbers say you have a 63% chance to make the playoffs. 4-4, the numbers say it drops to 33%.
Wow.
That's a significant difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hopefully they can get it done Sunday. I appreciate the time.
You got it, sir.
Good stuff from Dave Lapham, as always. I could have talked to him for 3 more hours. I mean, I kept it for 20 minutes, but it was really, really good stuff. We will get that posted at ESPN1530.com. I'm James Erpine, and this is Cincy 360. Up next, who's better, Ocho or Tio? They discuss that. We'll hear from both next during Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
Mo back at it today at 3:05. Going to be joined by Xavier head coach Travis Steele. We'll talk some FC Cincinnati as well. Plus, Cocky Mo returns with his best bets of the week. Brandon Lang's going to join him. You get my hottest takes of the week as well. So 3 to 6 today. Pretty much just keep it locked right here on ESPN 1530 forever. Just forever, because we're back at it tomorrow at noon. So just keep it right here on the iHeartRadio app or however you're listening forever.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Forever. Quick Hits is a service of Rumkey Restoration. If you have water damage or need your carpets clean, maybe a flooded basement has left a mess. For life's disasters, as Mo says, call the masters. It's Rumkey Restores. Go to RumkeyRestores.com. The Red Sox went up 2-0 on the Dodgers after a 4-2 win last night. David Price pitched well, had a couple walks, but I was watching the game. Pitched relatively well. And I remember, shout out to Butch Jeff Hobson, or Jeff Butch Hobson. He, Bengals.com, he's a big Red Sox fan. And I remember hearing him before, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, oh, David Price is on the mound. How quickly things change. Yeah, David Price is on the mound, and it's a good thing for the Red Sox. Federal charge of misdemeanor assault was filed this month against former UC basketball assistant coach Larry Davis. They met today in a Charlotte courtroom earlier today at 10:35. We'll probably have more on that when it breaks, I assume today at 3:05. Steph Curry was insane yesterday, if you paid attention to the NBA. He was 15 of 24 from the field, 11 of 16 on three-pointers in 31 minutes. In 31 minutes, Steph Curry dropped 51 points. He might have made a run at Kobe Bryant's 81. If they would have left him in and let him go and just keep going. He was on fire yesterday. And speaking of the NBA, former Bearcat Lance Stephenson was key in the Lakers' 131-113 victory over the Phoenix Suns. He finished with 23-8-8 as LeBron and the Lakers get their first win of the season. All right, I tried to speed through all that stuff so we could get to this. Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, video on the blog at ESPN1530.com. They sat down with Bleacher Report. And let's just say Chad isn't willing to accept that Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens was better.
Who's the better receiver sitting right here? Think about it.
Who's the better receiver?
Yeah.
What kind of
Well, I think
T.O.
is one of the top three receivers in the history of the sport.
That's a lie. Let me tell you why.
Well, tell me why.
He's not the better receiver. He had the better cards dealt to him and took advantage of those opportunities.
How do you figure that?
Can I finish?
No, first of all, I'm going to stop. I'm going to make you stop right there.
Listen.
Because I only played with Steve Young 3 years.
Who?
Steve Young 3 years. That's it.
I don't care who you play with.
Outside of that, you had Carson Palmer, a Heisman Trophy
winner.
Look
where I was in Cincinnati. You played for the 49ers.
That has nothing to do with
the Cowboys. They weren't that good, the 49ers, though. The 49ers weren't that good.
These are awesome organizations.
Right.
When I came in, I was in the shit bowl, according to everybody else, and I made the most of the cards that I was dealt.
That's Chad Johnson, Terrell Owens debating back and forth. It's a really good video. They talked about their time together here in Cincinnati and a bunch of other stuff. I put it on the blog at ESPN1530.com. Chad Johnson is my favorite Bengal ever, always will be. That being said, Terrell Owens was better. I'm sorry, Chad. I'm sorry. At your peak, you were right there with him and anyone else in the league from like 03 to 07, but... Yeah, I still got you behind T.O. I have you ahead of A.J. Green as of now, though. So there is that. I'm James Erpine. That's going to do it for me. The Stephen A. Smith Show is next. Mo back at it at 3:05. Thank you so much for listening today on ESPN 1530.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.